gave you the mic, and I was told to make sure, don't worry about time or anything like that. The floor is yours, ladies, okay?
Thank you. Okay. Well, Pastor had asked me if I would share what Mother's Day means to me. And first of all, being a mom is a blessing. To be a mom is a special calling, and it's a calling to raise the next godly generation. So I don't take it lightly. I didn't take it lightly. It's a beautiful, challenging journey, because I know that there are struggles and there are hard times as you raise your children, hoping that you're doing it the right way. And knowing that you do make mistakes, but thank God he's there to help you work through those times too. It's a gift from God, and I'm so thankful for that gift. When I think of my children, I am so blessed. As a mom, I cherish the memories that I had as I was raising them. I think about the time when I was pregnant with each of them, and feeling them move in the womb, and just that connection that mom has, you know, as they're growing that baby inside of them. And then when they're born, and looking at them, and seeing how they look like your dad, the dad or the mom, or maybe it was grandpa, grandma, whatever. Those are things that I think about on Mother's Day. I remember the silly antics that the kids would do and make me laugh, or the times that they had to learn hard lessons. And I remember telling my son one time that if he did wrong, I hope he got caught. I prayed that he would get caught, and he said, "You do what?" And I said, "Well, I'd rather you learn on the small things rather than the hard times when you're an adult." Or the time that my daughter asked if she could go out with a friend. And I had a check in my spirit, and I said, "No, not this time." And after she got off the phone, I asked her, I said, "Did you really want to go?" And she said, "No, Mom, I'm really glad you said no." So listen to your heart for your kids. I learned the importance of being there to ask them how their day was when they got home. For some reason, that was when they would talk more than any other time. And a mom can zero in when her child needs him or her to be their cheerleader, to be their confidant, to be their disciplinarian. I began to understand more about God's love from being a mom. It's amazing, but you don't have to think about loving your kids. You just do. God gives that to you. It's God's design. Mother's Day is a day of remembrance. I remember the selfless love my mother showed to me and my siblings. I saw those sacrifices, but she never complained. We weren't given lots of stuff, but what we were given, we knew, was given out of sacrifice. So we really appreciated it and took care of it. The fun times that didn't cost a dime. Laughing at the table until our stomachs hurt. I don't know if you guys ever did that, but those were the most fun times, was around the dinner table. Moms see us for who we are. They love us by giving us their time, their help, their encouraging words, and most of all, their prayers. Moms teach us how they live, the standards that they held high, and their prayers, and the love that they gave. Sometimes it wasn't, "I love you." It was in what they did, and just the things that they showed to us, that showed love for us. These remembrances continue to bless me, especially when I share them with my family, and I'm so glad that they like to hear my stories. Mother's Day means joy, it means memories, family, but most of all, it means love.
in Malachi 2:15, it says the reason why we get married and why we have children, and that is to raise a godly seed, godly children. And when I got married, I hadn't been married very long, and I was never, I wasn't raised in a Christian family, and so when I got married, I hadn't been a Christian very long. And so to know how to raise my children for the Lord, I did not know how. And I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian wife or mother. And so I had to, I just learned things as I went along. And I had, my mom died when I was 7 months old, so I didn't have that example, but I had the example of Ed's mom. And the mothers in the church became my mothers, an example. my girls came to know the Lord at a very early age, and like when they were 3 and 5 and so on. And I remember we had a little girl that would come to our place before she went to school and would go to and she'd play with Sherry, and she was really young. I'm not sure how old they were, but Sherry wasn't in school yet, and I was we'd had devotions, and I was asking the little girl, telling her how to become a Christian, and asked her if she would like to be, and she said yes, and Sherry spoke up and said, "Well, Mom, I want to become a Christian too." So we all just knelt down by the couch and gave our heart to the Lord. they all were filled with the Holy Spirit at a very young age. And what makes life easier in raising children is if they come to know the Lord at a very early age. And we've had devotions every morning before they went to school, and sometimes was kind of on the hurry and maybe didn't really want to do that, but we did it. And my oldest sister, who raised me, she said, "One of these days, Bonnie, those girls are going to grow up and just hate you for cramming that stuff down their throats." And so one day I asked the girls, I said, "Do you feel like we're cramming this stuff down your throats?" And she said, "No, Mom." She said, "It gives me strength and courage and power to stand up for myself, for the Lord, when I go to school and when I'm on the school bus." And so they had that word of God in them, and we'd pray before they'd go to school. And our life was centered around the Bible and family devotions. And church was our life. We had a neighbor that my girls played with the neighbor girls. And one day, the mother called me up one day and said, "Bonnie, I just want to tell you that I gave my heart to the Lord today, and it's because of you and your family that I did that." And she said, and I says, "Well, I didn't ever ask you to go to church. I never invited you to church. I've never even talked to you about Jesus before." She said, "No, but it was because of the way that you lived and the way your kids, girls, were, because all that my girls knew was the Lord, and all they knew the songs to sing was the songs that we sang in church, and that was their life." And she said, I just watched it and marveled at that. And she said, "So I just went to my church," which was a Presbyterian church, and they had happened to have a Pentecostal preacher pastor for that year. He lasted a year, but anyway, he was the one that led her to the Lord. And she said, "It was, but I just needed to call you, Bonnie. That's why I did that." And I remember her coming to church with me that following Sunday, and we had a Bible school team that came from LIFE Bible College. And the worship leader, wanting the congregation to worship the Lord in their heavenly language, which God had given to them. And I had never told Pat about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit worshiping the Lord that way. So, and her husband saw such a change in her that he got saved and was they were in the ministry. And but anyway, that's just how we lived. And in church, what was fun for the kids? We had there was one play in particular that we put on. And I had the children's kids, and we put on this play, and it was on the fruit of the Spirit. And we had the whole church involved, making the background and everything, and flowers and stuff. And we had kids coming off the street that wanted to be in the play, and then pretty soon we'd have a little argument or a little fight, so we'd have to stop the production and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Why are we doing this, you know? So then we'd confess our faults to each other, pray for each other, and things then would go on. But that was teaching them as we was going along what we were doing, you know, why we were doing this. And the girls, whatever we were active in, the girls was with us. We did everything together as a family in ministry. If I went to the nursing home, the girls went to the nursing home with me. Ed was in a singing group, and Debbie, she played the piano for that group, and they did some traveling to other churches. And our whole living room was full of instruments that's how we spent our time, is singing unto the Lord and playing these instruments, and the kids playing at church and singing. And then in school, the kids were all involved in sports, and because they were Christians and filled with the Holy Spirit, they were real big testimonies to their teammates and to their coaches. And we had one coach call us up. Ed and I had just gotten home from the game, and the coach called and said, is Debbie home yet? And I says, no. He said, well, I want you to give her a message for me. He said, I asked my little girl if she would pray that we'd win the game tonight. And she said, but Daddy, I don't know how to play. I don't know how to pray that kind of a prayer. And she says, well, Jiz, and he's not a Christian, but that's what he said. And so she prayed, and they won the game. And but he said, tell Debbie, she's the reason why I asked her to pray. Because the girls had started before a ball game that they would pray before they went on the floor. And one time they were in such a hurry, they forgot to go. They were started to go on the floor, and the coach said, didn't you girls forget to do something? And they said, well, what did we forget? They said, you forgot to pray. So these are just examples. And I remember Brenda wrote a letter to her coach when she graduated, and she said, it's easier for me to write than to tell you. But she said, I just want to tell you how I became a Christian, and that I hope that you come to know the Lord too, like I do. And so he came to our house and thanked her for that letter. And then one time they had a ball game, and I think it was at Clarkston someplace down there, and the coach, and he knew that we went to church, so he said, I want you to, those who want to go to church, you can go to church. Those of you who are not going to go to church, you've got to stay in the room. And the coach went with us, and he's not a Christian. And it's a Pentecostal church, Assembly God Church, and sure enough, there was a message in tongues interpretation. And my son-in-law was sitting by, Mike was sitting by the coach, and the coach said, what is that? And so Mike says, Bonnie, hand me your Bible. So my Bible's all highlighted in yellow on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so I sent it down to him. And so he read it. And he said, well, if it's in the Bible, then it's okay. So he was okay with it. So anyway, those are just some examples of what it means to be a mom. And just like John said, that there's nothing more blessed or joy. I'm not sure just exactly. I should have wrote it down, knowing that my children are, you know, love the Lord. So, and there's, that's no greater, and that's for me, that's, there's no greater joy. And I know that's for all of you. And our, I would just want to say that my family was not perfect. And those who know me and know my family know that's not true. That's true. And that, but, you know, there's a song that said, we used to sing years ago, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. We've had many tears and sorrows. Questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials were there to only make me strong through it all. And the Lord will be with all of you through it all. And I have this plaque, and I have no idea where I got it, who gave it to me, but it says, God made us a family. We need one another. We love one another. We forgive one another. And I could go through each one of these and tell you a story about experiences in our life that we experienced through all these things. We even one time had the whole family together, and we were supposed to speak in at this church service, and I told the girls, I said, and they were talking about family. And I said, I want you to be truthful when you get up there. I don't want you to be a hypocrite. But I want you to speak the truth of how you were raised. And I want you to speak the truth. And if you have aught against me, I want you to tell me so we can confess our faults one to each other, pray for each other that we may be healed. And so these are different things that times that we've gone through. We worked together. I learned, I decided that when I raised my children, I would not be sitting and watching TV while they worked. We would work together, and we would play together, and we would do things together. Together we use God's word. Together we love all men. Together we serve our Lord. Together we hope for heaven. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, God. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing the testimonies are. And it's good to hear as a group the lives, things that are meaningful to everybody. I wish there was time for everybody to give their testimony. Now, this is unexpected for me. Pastor called yesterday, and he just said that he didn't know if he was going to feel good enough to preach today and might not even be able to be here. And so he's not here. So just keep him in prayer, because this is something that has been hanging on for Pastor, and I told him, I said, just focus on yourself and get on top of this, and hopefully he's going to seek some counsel and some professional help to find out what's going on, because he's not been feeling good, and it's evidently getting worse. So I was not expecting this, and I feel like I'm kind of scruffy this morning. I didn't have time to shave. And the ladies look so good, but the men look scruffy anyway, so it looks to me like almost all the men forgot to shave or didn't get around to it. But I thank Pastor for just being willing to call on different ones to help him in the ministry at the pulpit here, and especially for the ladies on this special day. Thank you, girls. Thank you. So I think maybe what I want to do first is ask you to stand. Thank you. Take a deep breath. throw your shoulders back, raise your arms, breathe it out, breathe another one in, and sit down. And I had to do that because I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning, and I was falling asleep, and I fall asleep every Sunday. Pastor is the only one that knows because he sees me sitting there falling asleep. My theme is Mother's Day today, and my text is going to be in the book of Judges, and first thing is in chapter 5. It'll be chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. But I have a favorite scripture that I often think of when I'm ministering the Word of God. And it's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's what we believe, for reproof, what we're doing wrong, for correction, what to do about it when you're wrong, and instruction in righteousness. And that's where my theme and focus is going to be today, on instruction in righteousness. In fact, the ladies were so gracious, I decided it'll be all right if I'm not very gracious this morning, and I lay it on a little bit heavy, okay? I'm taking lessons from Deborah. And she calls herself in chapter 5, a mother in Israel. And I'm going to start, though, back in chapter 4, verse 4. And this is the story of Deborah and Barak and the oppression of the Canaanites that oppressed the Israelites. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She was the primary spiritual leader and the counselor for all of Israel at that time. She judged them. That is, she discerned between right and wrong for the children of Israel. And there's no mention in the story at all about Deborah's own children. They're not mentioned, they're not named. But it says in verse 5, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So all of Israel were her children. And that's why she's called a mother in Israel in chapter 5. She was judging Israel and the children of Israel. Israel had been oppressed for 20 years by the Canaanites. Their king was named Jabin, and the commander of their army was Sisera. And Deborah was the spiritual leader of Israel, and Barak was the commander of Israel's army. And so the story is all based in this scene of a war between the Canaanites and the Israelites. These are times today, our times. These are times when godly women need to be spiritual warriors. Godly women need to be hearing from God and discerning and making judgments. Amen. Father in heaven, we ask that today your Holy Spirit just lift up our souls, our spirits, Lord, to hear from God. I pray for everybody in the congregation, Lord, that the things that you would speak by the privacy of your spirit in their own heart, Lord, that those things would be communicated with power. Holy Spirit, speak to us, I pray. And Lord, let the word of God just be revelation, understanding, and wisdom to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to rehearse the story of the war. It's all in chapter 4, and if you scan it while I'm talking, you can probably read through the whole thing, but don't miss what I'm saying. Okay? But after they had won the victory of the war, Deborah and Barak sang a song, and that's chapter 5, is a song that they were singing. And I'm just going to focus on verse 6 and 7 to begin with here. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, Jael was another lady that figures in the war, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They were dangerous times. They stayed off of the main roads. They took byways where they could be out of sight if the enemy came up the road with a chariot. They weren't in the area, and they hid themselves in the byways. The villages were abandoned. Villages were deserted. The people were hiding out. They were staying in thickets. They were hiding in the rocks. And it was a dangerous, dangerous time until Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. She was a mother to Israel. They were all her children because of her ministry in the Spirit of the Lord. Scripture says that Deborah was judging Israel at that time. And today, right here, is such a time. A dangerous time. Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, a lot of other cities are going to hell in a handbasket. And mothers have a role to play in saving this nation. Today, whole communities, cities are falling apart, and it's trickling down to the small communities. By the way, Brenda, so good to see you in the... That's not Brad, is it Brad? Eric. Yeah, so good to see you. Jerry and Heather, so good to see you. Jerry's got his mom with him there. So good to see you. I'm not sure. I don't want to go any farther with just mentioning people, but just it's so good to see you. God bless you. It's dangerous times right here in our country. Righteous people are being oppressed. Criminals are being encouraged. There are demons abroad in the land of America. People are hiding themselves from the enemy. They're being silenced everywhere. They're being coerced to support abominable things. I see on YouTube all the time, I watch YouTube. Sorry about that. I see prepper lessons for how to survive in the wilderness, how to be ready for what's coming down the pike, how to have food prepared ahead of time, how to prepare a shelter for yourself if you are forced to out of your home. These things could be coming upon us today. I think the day of the Lord is near. Today is such a time. I want to focus on the mother's role for our times. So back to chapter 4, verse 4. And now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. at that time. There are times when women of God need to be leaders in their community and be speakers for God. It is time for women to stand up in this culture and stand for righteousness and godliness and stand against all the wicked, evil the devil is lying into the people. Today is such a time, ladies. Not everybody will have a platform to speak to the nation like Candace Owens or Carrie Lake, but everybody can start somewhere, especially with children, with your own children and with your grandchildren. Today is the time to do it. The children need instruction from godly women. I won't go there. Thank you, Lord. There are times when godly women are needed to judge between right and wrong. Ladies, you need to be judging what's going on in our country, in our community. You need to be judging what's going on in families that is tearing them apart, ruining them. Today is such a time. There are lies from the devil that twist the souls of little children. The principality of the air is warring against the soul of America. And children are the target of choice for the devil. Verse 6, last part, says, "And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." Ladies, there are times when women are endued with power from on high to discern in their spirit where and how and when the battle against the enemy needs to be waged with every resource. And today is such a time. It's time to throw everything you have into the battle for the souls of your children and for the soul of America. And men, you need to listen and pay heed to the alarms raised by your women and lend the authority of the command to their support. It's on you men to see to it that mothers are honored and obeyed and loved with filial love by their children. Don't let the children disrespect their mothers. Don't the scriptures warn us that there will be times when children will deliver up their mothers and their fathers to death? The Soviet Union went through decades of that during my lifetime. Children accused and turned over their parents to the KGB. And it can happen again in America. Is it America's time to suffer? Men, you need to fight for your families. I'm just jumping from point to point here in this scripture. Verse 14, "Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. There are times when women who speak by the wisdom and revelation and knowledge and understanding imparted by the Spirit of God in them can inspire their men to do the right thing in the right way at the right time to win a spiritual victory. Women, you need to speak to your husbands the things that they're ignoring. If they're not hearing from God and you are, be bold. Be gentle. (Clears throat) Sometimes when women get after their men, they can be tough, they can be vicious. They can cut and hurt. Okay, women, love your men enough to encourage them. Amen. Today is a time that we need you to do that. Pardon me. Men, encourage your women to tell you what they think. And when they're telling, pay attention and listen and respond. Amen? I've learned this, that women have gifts that you men only wish you had. They have superior intuition. There isn't a man in this body here that can match the intuition of their wives. Intuition is when they arrive at a truth and make conclusions by a different path than you do, and it's just all mystery to you. How did they come up with that? But it's right. God has gifted the women with that type of intuition. Similar to it is discernment. Women can read the minds of children. Not me. Well, most of the time, women can read the minds of other women. I can never do that. How many of you guys are good at reading your wife's mind? If you give her a chance, she'll put it into words. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I have to follow my notes closely because my age is telling on me and I don't want to get lost in stammering, okay? Women are good at gathering information that men just don't even acknowledge. The kids talk to them and their friends talk to them. And they learn things that are going on that you men are ignorant and oblivious of. It's true. Yeah. And you need to check in with your wife and find out what's happening in the family because you are the responsible party to set your family in order, talking to the men. The women are sensitive to right and wrong. Their conscience makes them feel. They feel what is wrong. They feel what is right. Women, speaking to women, when you see a spiritual battle shaping up in your family, inspire your man to be a warrior. Don't be afraid to push him. Give him some strategy and put it on him to join with you in the fight for your children and your grandchildren and the nation. And men, you be receptive. When your women are telling you something's wrong, something needs correction, you need to pay attention. Sometimes I think women are more rational than men. today is such a time. Verse 18, and Jael, that's this other lady, went out to meet Sisera, the commander of the Canaanite armies. He was fleeing from the Israelites in the battle. And Jael went out to meet him out of her tent and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me, and don't be afraid. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And she gave him some milk to drink, and he fell asleep. In verse 21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground. That means it went all the way through his skull. For he was fast asleep and worried, and so he died. There are times when women of God can be the instrument of God's hand to seize the opportunity and deliver the decisive blow to the enemy. Today is such a time. Today is such a time. This is a spiritual war we are in. And ladies, you can be a difference maker. Chapter 5, verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song. Deborah and Barak were singing this song. Now I want to say this morning, awake, awake, godly mothers. Sing battle songs. Sing hymns that war against the devil. Sing the battle hymn of the republic. Sing Jesus is coming soon. Sing the church of God is moving. Sing songs that war against the pessimism and the destruction and the antichrist spirit that is in America today. These are times when mothers need to be spiritual warriors. These are times when mothers need to make judgments. Gender confusion is the strategy of the devil to target the children. You need to be a warrior, ladies. You need to defend your children. You need to teach them. You need to pray for them. You need to tell them what's allowed and what isn't allowed. Be strong. Drag queen shows in schools and libraries is the strategy of the devil to target the children. God rebuke the devil. God rebuke the devil. What a wickedness is afoot in the land. And the thing is, there are mothers taking their children to watch the shows put on by drag queens. It's evil wickedness. Awake, awake. Yesterday I watched a YouTube clip of the CPAC. What does CPAC stand for? It's a conference, something conservatives. It's annual. What, sorry? Conservative Political Action Committee. Political Action Committee. Yeah. Thank you, Dell. There was a banner behind the speaker that said, awake, not woke. If you're paying any attention at all, you know that woke is the antichrist, ungodly philosophy and ideology that rejects everything in our religious and righteous heritage as a nation, and it is destroying the fabric of America. And America will be destroyed if we do not stop the rot It's time for mothers to be furious with the devil. Ever since the Supreme Court put the abortion battle back where it belongs in the states, the shrill banshees of the perverted have gone into full-out war to turn us into Sodom and Gomorrah. It's happening. Here's what we're up against. The most dedicated, relentless enemy of God is the most dedicated, relentless enemy of the gospel and the church and a righteous America. That is the devil. For 200 years, American missionaries did more to take the gospel to the world than any other nation. Now, America is taking Sodom and Gomorrah to the rest of the world, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. I'm afraid it's come upon us. It's here. America is exporting abortion around the world, and you're paying for it. They try to keep it under wraps, but you're paying for it. America's largest corporations are acting with political activism all over the world, not just in America. I'm astonished at how the active ideology of transgenderism has jumped the oceans to Australia, to England, all over Europe. I can't understand how the nations have embraced that wickedness. Awake, awake, Deborah. You mothers in Israel, these are the times when godly women need to be spiritual warriors. And it's high time to get on your high horse. I think I have time. I'm going to just repeat some of those lessons. There are times when women of God need to be leaders in their community and be speakers for God today. Today. There are times when godly women are needed to judge between right and wrong. Today, you need to be doing it. There are times when women, endued with power from on high, discern in their spirit where and how and when the battle against the enemy needs to be waged with every resource. And today is such a time. It's time to throw everything you have in the battle. There are times when women who speak by the wisdom and revelation and knowledge and understanding imparted by the Spirit of God I got my pages mixed up or something. Oh, it's over here. They can inspire their men to do the right thing in the right way at the right time to win a spiritual victory. Amen. Ladies, you've got keys. Use them. There are times when women of God can be the instrument of God's hand to seize the opportunity and deliver the decisive blow to the enemy. Today is such a time, especially war against the devil. Amen. Amen. In common vernacular that I hear these days, we need some mama bears. Have you ever been confronted by a bear that's defending the children? It's plumb spooky. Did I tell you a story about bears recently? I was telling somebody in the last few months a couple of stories. When I was in high school, my dad took me on a camp out hunting trip, and we were up in Homestead Creek and set up camp, and we were going to stay there 3 nights, I think. And the day before the season opened, we got camp all set up, and my dad told me to take our horse and take a ride with the horse just to exercise it and get familiar with the area we were going to be going into to hunt. So I took the horse for a ride, and it was a probably 3 mile ride or something. I turned around to come back, and all of a sudden I see a bear down at the toe of the fill on the road spanking a cub up a tree. The cub was shooting up the tree. The bear was about where you are, Penny, for me, about that close. And I'm on a horse that I figure this horse could throw me off and even make me land right there at the bear's feet. I mean, I was really concerned about getting thrown off of that horse. The horse stopped. The bear was straight down the hill from where I was at. And I just gently urged the horse to keep going. And you know, it stepped out and it just walked right past that bear. And I wasn't a Christian, I would have been shouting hallelujah when I got back. But boy, I'll tell you what, bears have a tendency to do that to you. Oh, another story. One time I was cruising some timber. My boy and I were looking at logging it, and so I was going through just to see what the timber was like, and down a steep face of a mountain it was on the north slope, so the trees were thick and tall in that north slope, and I was going as fast as I could because my boy was going around to meet me down at the bottom, down by the creek, and I was busting down the hill through brush and trees and stuff, and all of a sudden something moved on a tree that was just arm's length from me, and it was a cub going up the tree. Just I could have touched it just like that. And I looked up, and there was another cub about 6 feet higher up the tree. And I thought, where's the mama, you know? And I'd been making a lot of noise, so she heard me coming. But she had put the cubs up the tree, but I didn't know where she was at. Where I stopped in front of that tree was a deer trail going side hill. I made a sharp left, and I hurried out of that neck of the woods as fast as I could go. I didn't know if the bear had gone that way or not, but fortunately, hadn't. Bear hadn't gone that way. Yeah. My dad and mom were fishing in Sawtooth Creek when I was a boy. They came home with such a story to tell. They had baskets full of fish, and they were hiking up the trail to hike on out of Sawtooth Creek up onto Surveyor's Ridge. You guys know where I'm talking about. The trail down in the creek just kind of split up to go around a bushy hump, and Dad went one way. For some reason, Mom decided to go the other way, and then a grizzly bear stood up right in between them. Dad was 6 feet that way from the bear, and Mom was 6 feet that way from the bear. They took off running. Dad let Mom go in front. Some of you might have put your wife in back, I don't know. But he was trying to push her, but he didn't want to push her so hard she would fall down. And he said, as they were running from that bear, he looked back and he could have touched that bear on the nose. It was that close to him. Obviously, he didn't want to take him, but boy, it was running them out of there. Dad yelled at Mom. They ran up the trail a ways. The bear didn't stop chasing him, so Dad yelled at Mom, throw off your fish pack. And so both of them threw off their packs full of fish. They didn't have limits on fish those days. And that's a joke. They kept running after throwing off the packs. After a short distance, the bear stopped. And they got out of sight of the bear. Dad put Mom up a tree. And he waited about an hour. And then he went back to get their packs. And when he got to where he could see the packs, the bear was standing over top of them. So he thought, well, maybe I can scare it. So he yelled at the bear. The bear chased him again. Chased him right to Mom. But it turned around and went back down the trail. So Dad waited two more hours, and he went back to check, and that time he was able to retrieve the packs. Bear hadn't got into the fish at all. It just stood over those packs, waiting for him to come back. Yeah. Huh. Oh, well, that's enough bear stories. We need some mama bears that can put the run on the devil. And that's all I've got to say about that. Are we closing with some music? I didn't arrange for anything. It'd be nice to just have some music. I'll just dismiss the church. So would you stand? We're going to dismiss. Pastor would still be going 20 more minutes. You know that? Oh! You got to be kidding me. Yes, Ann. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Keep on praying for Pastor and Donna, Ethan and Bethany. Could I ask you to just come where people can see a little bit better? I didn't know. Just come on up here. This is a new mother in Israel. She's actually a mother, but it's mothering again. So, hallelujah, Father in heaven, let this little child, Lord,